Today, my friends, on the fourth day of the week, on Wednesday, we move from the first segment of the weekly Torah portion, which is Parshat Acharei Mot, into the Parsha, which is called Kedoshim. Of course, the word Kedoshim is related to the word Kedusha, which means holy. And Kedoshim means holy ones. So after concluding Parshat Acharei Mot, with a long litany of all of the different kinds of relationships that the Torah outlaws, the kinds of intimacies which are seen beyond the pale of righteousness, the things that can damage the innate holiness that God has endowed us with. Following this, the next segment, in some years a new parsha, opens with some very familiar, but at the same time, very unusual words. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God spoke to Moses. That verse is repeated in the Torah, it seems almost ad infinitum. The next verse, though, goes on to say, Daber el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire assemblage of the Jewish people. Rashi points out immediately, something odd is being conveyed. Typically it says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel or the Israelites. Here the Torah emphasizes not to speak to the Israelite nation, not to speak to the Jews, but instead, Daber el kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire congregation of Israel. Who is the congregation of Israel? And why is it that here the Torah emphasizes that Moshe Rabbeinu should be addressing the entirety of that congregation, as it were, the entirety of the nation? And so Rashi says, Melamed, this can teach us, Shenemru Parasha Zu Bahakil, that this Torah portion was first delivered by Moses, first conveyed by the Rebbe, the teacher of the Jewish people, to the entirety of the nation, on a day when he assembled everybody. And that's because, Rashi says, Mipnei Sherov Gufei HaTorah Tuluyim Bod, because many, many of the foundational commandments of the Torah are included in the Parsha that we're about to begin to study together. In other words, generally, when Moshe Rabbeinu's conveying teachings of God, not everybody showed up. Some rabbis feel bad when not everybody shows up to a class. I know I do. But the truth is, even the greatest of teachers and greatest of rabbis never got a sold-out crowd. Or, not often. Not often did he have a Kol Nidronite packed to the rafters. But typically some people would come. And some people felt that their attendance was optional. Depended on the day. Not that there was much to do in the desert, but nonetheless, not everybody came. You know, when I was a young man just beginning my rabbinical career, I once spent the high holidays in a prison, in a federal prison in Pennsylvania. And I wasn't a criminal. But unfortunately, there were many, many of our brethren who were in prison. And I was there to minister to them and to lead high holiday services. And I will never forget that on Yom Kippur, when we began to begin the very long repetition of the Musaf Amida, we were struggling to keep the minyan going. Now I have to tell you that for breakfast, more than 100 people showed up. At Kol Nidre, at least 80. For Musaf, we couldn't get a minyan. In other words, I realized that people would rather be in a jail cell and sit in shul during this long and difficult to listen to repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. I say that parenthetically. Bottom line, we don't know that Moses was necessarily entertaining. He wasn't a funny guy. He didn't do drama. He simply conveyed the rules, the laws, the instructions, the ethos and ideals of God in a transparent manner. You heard from Moses exactly what he had heard from God. Not everybody showed up. But God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, figure it out. This time, you need to gather them all together. They all need to be in attendance. And that's because the Torah teachings, as Rashi just told us, that are contained in this week's portion are so fundamental. They're so important that when you convey them, you must make attendance mandatory. And that's the commandment that Moshe Rabbeinu got. Daber o kol adat b'nei Yisrael. The Panim Yafei suggests that not all the Jewish people even felt worthy of studying from Moshe Rabbeinu or from Moses. Some of them couldn't bring themselves even to look at him. His holiness was so intense. And yet, this was something everybody had to be in attendance for. And what will Moshe Rabbeinu tell the entirety of the nation now that he has gathered them by divine edict, gathered them all together? V'amarta aleihem, and you should say to them, Kedoshim tihiyu. You, all of you, you must be holy. You must be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am the Lord your God and I'm holy. And if I'm holy, you have to be holy. If we're in this relationship with God, then we have to try in some way to measure up to the holiness of our Creator, because our Creator has entered into a personal, profound, and meaningful relationship with each and every one of us. When we stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, God said, Anochi Hashem. He didn't say, Elokeichem, I am the Lord, your God, in a pluralistic sense. He said, Anochi Hashem, Elokecho, I am your God. And each of the people standing around that mountain felt that God was speaking to them personally, individually. And he was. So God says, I'm in a relationship with you. You're in a relationship with me. I'm holy. You need to be holy too. You know, the Rebbe once said that there's such a beautiful lesson that this can bring us. He said, this should teach us in every time and in every place that whenever you gather Jewish people together, and unfortunately we're living in the strangest of times when we cannot gather together, but we're gathering here using the miracles of technology. And so when we gather people, when we gather together, the focus should be positive. At least the opening should be positive, even if sometimes harsh or difficult or negative things have to be spoken. We should always open with an uplifting and a positive message. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's larger lesson is for us. God says to Moses, when you gather them together, all of them, tell them how fantastic they are. Tell them they're magnificent. Tell them you have amazing souls. Each and every one of you is in a personal relationship with God. And as God is holy, you have to be holy. And to be holy, of course, is an uplifting thing. It's not to be part of the rubric of the everyday existence. We should live loftier lives, elevated lives, more spiritual lives. We should live in a holy fashion. So why are we talking about holiness? I mean, the last subject was about the greatest forms of deprivation, spiritual and moral deprivation. Incest, animal-human intimacy. Rashi says, as a rule you must know, that this verse brings everything we heard about prior to a close, as well as serves as an opening to the verses that'll follow. Rashi says, Kedoshim tiyu, be holy, means hevu perushim min harayis. You must be removed. You have to be really careful not to violate those sins that are intimacy related. Umin ha'aveira, and from the other violations that I'm going to talk about in the new Torah portion. So Rashi sees holiness as something innate, and Rashi sees holiness as something that each and every one of us can preserve, if only we don't darkle the light that is innate and organic to our souls. Heve perushim min haroyis. Stay away from toxic behavior. That will soil and stain your soul. That will darken the light that will diminish the holiness. Nachmanides, Ramban, is a very different take. After quoting the words of Rashi with great reverence, he says, with all due respect, Lefidati, as I see it and I understand it, said Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, Ein ha-parshiot hazu, this is not simply about avoiding sins of intimacy and inappropriate sexual relationships. This is not simply about who you should and shouldn't marry or the kind of intimate liaisons you should avoid. This is not simply about avoiding sin. He says, yes, the Torah has made many, many limitations on the kinds of intimate activities we may engage in. But as long as you're graced with the sacred nature of matrimony, well then, intimacy can be engaged in, I suppose, endlessly, says Nachmanides. As long as the food is kosher, well, you can eat like a glutton and live a life which is punctuated and governed by the fulfillment of sensual pleasure and the achievement of yet another rung in the world of libido. Ramban comes along and he says that the degenerative way to behave, it's a degenerative attitude towards life. Life is not about pleasuring oneself. The neshama didn't come to this earth so that it can engage or taste every form of sensual pleasure. That's not what life's about, Ramban says. Ramban says life's about holiness. And holiness, he says, is achieved when we engage in things permissible in a limited fashion. We don't focus on the things that are just pleasurable or enjoyable for us. He says, you can be a novel, you can be a degenerate, and you can do it bereshut haTorah, you can do it by the authority of Torah. Didn't violate any laws. The person who lives his whole life seeking the next few minutes of personal satisfaction and sensual pleasure, all kosher, of course, all food that's permitted, and all intimacy that is allowed. Ramban says, Baha Katuv, here the pasuk comes, it says, Achrei shepara te'isurim, after he goes through all the details of things that are prohibited, the Torah comes along and he says, it goes further than that. And even the things that are permitted, one should not engage endlessly in carnal pleasures, but instead, one should live a life of holiness. One should live a life of service. One should live a life that is guided by a higher calling, not one that's about self-service and self-gratification. Commenting on this teaching of Nachmanides, the Rebbe once said that there is a marvelous idea that is being conveyed to each and every one of us. And it goes like this. So many of us might think that when it comes to the mitzvah of holiness, kedoshim tihiyu, being holy, not simply avoiding the things that the Torah forbids, but also not fully immersing oneself in the pursuit of libido, not fully engaging in the pursuit of sensual pleasure. It doesn't mean to be a monk, a mendicant. It doesn't mean to forswear earthly pleasures. But the question is, what makes you tick? What's life about? The next meal? A good night's sleep? Or is life about purpose? Is life about mission and meaning? Is life about holiness? Is life about trying to uplift everything we come in contact with? That's the big question. And there are a lot of people who think that that sounds like a tall order. It sounds very lofty. It sounds very mighty. It's not for me, they say. That's not for ordinary people. That's for tzaddikim. That's for righteous people. That's for rebbetzins and rabbis. That's for people who are very pious. That's for people who have a perfect scorecard. People who never do anything they shouldn't do. I don't know anybody like that, by the way, but that's what they think. People who observe every mitzvah in the most exquisite and perfect and precise form. People who never miss an opportunity to serve Hashem and follow the instructions of the Torah every single moment is lived in perfect accordance with the code of the Jewish law, the Shulchan Aruch. People like that, they're expected to reach higher. They're expected to be able to bring holiness into their lives. Regular people? The everyday Joe? You gotta be kidding. It'd be good enough if he kept the Shulchan Aruch, they say. Halavai, if only he won't do any big sins. If only he won't drop the balls, the opportunities that Hashem provides for him. Forget holiness. Leave that for someone else, they say. And that would be a great mistake, said the Rebbe. And the Parsha, this week's Torah portion, is telling us that Kedusha, that reaching beyond, that living a life which is essentially defined by a holier and a loftier perspective and attitude is squarely within the purview and embrace of each and every single one. Everyone. I mean, after all, this parsha of Kedoshim, as Nachmanides, Ramban interprets it, is speaking to Kol Adat B'nei Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people, each and everyone. There are no exceptions. Everybody had to be present. And the reason that this is so is because God says, Ki kodosh ani Hashem alekeichem, because I am holy. Because if I'm holy, you should try to be holy too. God says that I gave you a beautiful neshama, a wondrous soul. A neshama that can literally make a world of difference. Just got to live with your eyes open. You have to live with a sense of destiny. You have to live with a sense that Hashem loves you, cares about you, and that your behavior and attitude are very important to Him. That holiness is within reach of us all. And I kind of named this series now Parsha Perspectives During the Age of COVID, because I think we need to all elevate our perspectives on a regular basis. It's so easy to get bogged down in the present reality. The uncertainty continues to mount, and really nobody knows when this is going to end or how it's going to end. And certainly leads to fear, and these are kind of things that they gnaw at you. And people are cooped up. And people are frustrated. And unable to engage in life fully and normally. And you start to think, well, I'm sure somebody's making a difference somewhere. But if I can just survive, that'll be good enough. And the Parsha comes along and says, no. We are not survivors. It's not enough to get through these days. Make these days count. Do holy things. It's not okay if, as long as I didn't violate any mitzvahs and I did the basics, I did my checklist, I followed the rules, the orders I was supposed to do for today. Hashem is telling us you can hallow, you can make holy, you can sanctify, you can uplift, rarefy, and transform every day of your life, including these days. We all have opportunities. We can all do something special for someone. Make it your attitude. Because when that's your attitude, because when you have your eyes open and believe in yourself, because Hashem believes in you, and know that endless possibilities await, you just got to start somewhere. Then you can make a difference, and I can make a difference. We can all make a difference. And as we make our small differences, denting the darkness that seems to inundate and invade our lives, someday soon, somebody's going to make that final contribution. The mitzvah that weighs the scales down and brings all of us redemption and salvation with the coming of Mashiach. May it be speedily and in our days. Amen.